So our second scripture reading today comes from Psalm 98. And the Psalms are fascinating. I don't know if many of you have studied them, but Bible scholars debate about who wrote which psalm and which one was written by King David and which one was written by maybe a mystery writer. And this one, Psalm 98, a lot of the Bible scholars believe that Isaiah wrote this one, because when you compare the words that you heard in Isaiah 12 with the way this psalm is written, you can see a lot of similar phrasing and patterns, and even the content is very similar. So see if you believe what the Bible scholars think about Isaiah possibly writing Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now we can see that both Isaiah 12 and Psalm 98 express sincere, enthusiastic gratitude towards God. And I chose these two passages out of the lectionary choices today because stewardship is all about gratitude and giving. It's not about giving money out of a sense of duty, but it is about giving in general out of a sense of great thanksgiving and gratitude to God for all of our many blessings. Giving praise, giving time and talent, giving your presence here today is a way of giving. God created us to give and to take care of the earth and each other. And as Christians, we are to be good stewards of the church because we are so grateful for God's steadfast love for us. And our giving is about working towards building up the kingdom of God here on earth and providing resources through the church that effectively help the poor and those in need of our care. You can see that we don't take the money and use it to decorate the inside of the church lavishly beyond what it was already created in the beginning, because we really feel like the funds that you give the church are meant to go out in ministry or to have people come in and get their needs met here as well. So that is how we prioritize spending the funds that are given to this church. And to have enough staff to do that kind of ministry does take some of the funds too, because ministry in every church takes people, and people who are here as much of the day as possible. And the video showed just some of the ways that we care for others through this church. We try to always be ready to respond when the needs in the community develop. For example, when we provide shelter during disasters, we are ready for people to come here who seek our place as a place that is safe and secure. And Psalm 98 reminds us that there's always something to be thankful for. But in today's world, there's always something to be upset about too, isn't there? God made our brains to have free will and to choose what we want to focus on and how we want to live our lives. For your mental and physical good health, though, we recommend that you focus on the blessings and count your many blessings, like the song says. Name them one by one. We are made in the image of God, and God has made us to be fundamentally optimistic and hopeful in the midst of chaos. We are also created to be compassionate, generous givers. Because when we are optimistic and when we are generous, our brains reinforce those behaviors by flooding our bodies with good feelings. Recent research on the brain found that the adage, "God loves a cheerful giver," could be turned around to, "Giving causes the giver to be cheerful." Giving does cause the giver to be cheerful. A UCLA study found that the human brain's default mode is generous. But sometimes the analytical brain interferes. And they reported in this Greater Good Science article that people tend to default towards generosity unless another part of their brain overrides that default and tells them to be stingy. And often I know what fuels that is fear. If you live in a sense of fear, thinking you won't have enough, you won't be secure, you won't be safe, that's what turns on that analytic kind of reptilian brain too, and all of a sudden you grasp onto things out of fear. But Christoph Moore of UCLA found that participants who showed greater signs of neural empathy tended to be more generous. And neural empathy is when we see another person in pain and parts of our brain process this experience as if we were actually feeling that same pain or emotion. And I know my part of my brain is too overactive in that area because I'll see a Hallmark commercial or something and I'll be crying at the commercial. I'll just be able to relate so much to that 30 seconds that's happening. So, yeah. So it can be a problem, too. But this is the reason researchers who study generosity found that people who are poor or who have been poor give more generously than the rich. They know what it feels like to be hungry or to have their water shut off when there's no money to pay the bill. And they can empathize more deeply with the struggles people go through. So when they have a chance to give, they often give more because they can relate to the pain and the struggles of being in such difficult situations. But that doesn't mean that there are not some rich people also who give generously, even though they have never suffered poverty themselves. One of my favorites is Warren Buffett, because he's from Omaha, Nebraska, where the region I grew up in. And Warren Buffett last year gave $3.4 billion to charity, and this year he's giving $3.6 billion. And he says that he has pledged to give 99% of his fortune away to charity by the time he dies or after he dies. He said it will definitely have been given away. But he values giving of oneself even more than just giving money. Buffett said, "Many people, including, I'm proud to say, my three children, give extensively of their own time and talents to help others. Gifts of this kind often prove far more valuable than money." A struggling child, for example, befriended and nurtured by a caring mentor, receives a gift whose value far exceeds what can be bestowed by a check. Empathy and generosity are greater when there is a feeling of person-to-person connection. You were created in heart and in mind to respond to the needs of your neighbor. God made us capable of living and thriving in community, leaning on one another for survival. And God made our brains feel good when we give generously to help one another be resilient. We are created to share our resources and provide for one another's children so they too can live in harmony and peace after we leave this earth. And the gospel of Jesus is about enabling the Holy Spirit to use us to make the world like the kingdom of God. And building up the kingdom of God takes you and me loving our brothers and sisters in need. A drop of care can ripple out far and wide from the immediate source. You don't have to do that much, but your intention to help can make a huge difference that ripples out into someone else's life. But there's also a detrimental ripple effect if we ignore the needs of others. Eventually, that neglect ripples back and affects us or our community in some way. We were not created to accumulate stuff for ourselves. That leads to suffering and isolation. We were created to give and share out of our gratitude to God for life on earth. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Road to Daybreak, ponders giving in this way. He says, "When I look critically at my life, I give some of my money, some of my time, some of my energy, and some of my thoughts to God and others. But enough money, time, energy, and thoughts always remain to maintain my own security. Thus, I never really give God a chance to show me his boundless love." The boundless love of God is expressed in giving and in the freedom that comes with generosity. Jesus wants to free you from the trap of wealth and let you freely show your gratitude to God by sharing God's love with whatever resources, time, and talents you have to share. Like when the rich man, you remember, went off very sad because he realized he loved his wealth more than he loved Jesus. We are all challenged to find happiness that comes from breaking free from whatever material things we are clinging to for security and to trust in God more. Margot Starbuck wrote a book called Small Things with Great Love, Adventures in Loving Your Neighbor. And she says the Holy Spirit's big business is to open our eyes and ears to the ones God loves who are in need. Starbuck wrote that she herself typically avoided agony and injustice and those involved in it. She said, "As a sensitive soul, I'm simply much more comfortable not knowing about some things, especially about the circumstances where people are in pain." But over time, she realized that hearts willing to see and hear are the ones who respond to God's voice, and their hearts stay pliable and usable. The ones who turn away become hardened and self-focused. She said the Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah, taught what she calls divine cardiology. She said the prophets warned that heart hardening could be avoided by exercising justice and mercy as God's agents among the hungry, the orphaned, and the poor strangers. But the whole heart healthy prescription requires recognizing injustice and human need in the first place. Healthy, soft hearts see the need in the world that God sees and responds. Engaging in the world begins when we challenge ourselves to see and hear and learn about the needs of others, even when it makes us feel guilty about having so much. That feeling of guilt is a nudge from the Holy Spirit to do something. There is a ministry in Camden, New Jersey, and if you know Camden, it's one of the higher crime places in the whole U.S. And this Dr. Bruce Main started a ministry called Urban Promise. And he often quotes a Haitian proverb about active awareness. And he said, "We see from where we stand." And Dr. Main explains that when we change the places we stand in, our perceptions of the world will be changed and challenged. And that does explain, like, the overview effect I've talked about before. When the astronauts go into outer space and they see the big blue Earth looking like a marble from outer space, and they suddenly become overcome with this feeling of global oneness. They see no borders. They see just harmony in the blue ball. And they get this sense of protectiveness for our planet. And they come back to Earth determined to promote peace and environmental health measures to save our planet from human destruction. But for us who can't go to outer space or to go to even the slums in Kenya, God still longs for us to seek a fresh stand, a fresh perspective on the needs of the world from where you are standing. But maybe all you need to do is pivot just a little. We can look into the eyes of the people who come to our doors for food bags and greet them as if they were Jesus. God calls us to spend less time with people who look like us, think like us, talk like us, and have bank accounts like us, and spend more time with people who we would consider strangers or very different from us. Generous giving includes giving your friendship to someone who is not like all the rest of your friends. Now, Mother Teresa always said, "We need the poor more than the poor needs us." We find new life and freedom for ourselves in the giving and in the helping of others. Jesus preached good news for the poor, but it is the spiritual health benefits of giving and serving that is good news for all of us. We live in a capitalist society that challenges us to use our free will to give to those in need. And it is a test for our hearts and minds. Will we choose to follow Jesus and trust that God will provide when we give generously? Or will we accumulate for ourselves out of a distrust in God and fearful that we won't have enough in the end? In an article called Giving Proof, Gretchen Reynolds describes a study that showed generosity changed the activity in the brains in ways that increased feelings of happiness, even if the generous act was only anticipated. Scientists at the University of Zurich assessed the mood of a study group before and after giving them 25 francs once a week for 5 months. Half of the 50 subjects were asked to spend the francs on themselves, and the other half were instructed to choose a new recipient each week on whom to spend the money. Half the volunteers agreed to be selfish, and the other half agreed to be generous. And those who agreed to give away money reported feeling significantly happier than those who spent it on themselves. And even the study subjects who only pledged to spend money before they didn't, they changed. They could see in the MRI scans a functional greater activity in a portion of the brain that's associated with altruism. And then a greater functional connectivity was found in what's called the ventral striatum. And it's known as the brain's reward center. You can use that as a Thanksgiving discussion term. Ask people, do you know what the ventral striatum is? So it's the brain's reward center, and the results were huge. They could see a big difference in how it lit up when they looked at their brains when they were thinking about just anticipating giving, such as in a pledge to give. And it made the people feel happier, almost as much as the giving of the money. Now, these studies confirmed that what the church has known all along, pledging to give creates happiness. So thanks be to God for creating us to be grateful, cheerful pledgers and givers for the work of the Lord. And let us be grateful for a wonderful church that provides us with many opportunities to give of ourselves and to serve. Amen.